live around Australia on SEN Track. Welcome to Trot's Life with Jason Bonington.
On Trot's Life, freezing with Bon.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Trot's Life right here on SEN Track. New sound of chasing, pacing and racing. I have got a breezing with Bond coming up in just a moment, a bonologue, so to speak, but here's race one at Healesville.
Initial lead with Jerry Buzzard and Zero. And then followed No Way Nelly, then Majestic Stella, being followed by Gold Luminesce, and right back to last Black Jam. So at halfway, Zero the leader. A length and a half to Jerry Buzzard. There's no Patriot Link, and it's Zero in front holding on, and Zero's going to win the first. Zero won at three quarters. Too good for Jerry Buzzard. Third Patriot Lincoln, then Gold.
Your numbers there in the first at Healesville, 3, 5, and 4, 0. From zero to hero for Peter Deedes, it's 14.90 and 104. Jerry Buzzard second, 2.90 the drum, and Patriot Lincoln in for third at $1.30. 3, 5, and 4, your numbers, race one at Healesville. And we are going to go with a breezing with Bon here, and I just want everyone to just keep their powder dry and stay calm. I'm going to say a few things here. Just observations, and look, I hope it doesn't get me into any hot water, but I say twice in this little breezing with Bonologue that I'm going to start with that no one is really to blame for what I'm about to say, but I feel it has to be addressed at some point and potentially rectified. No matter which way you slice it or dice it, the Australian harness calendar still isn't right. This weekend, the richest pacing race south of the equator, the Miracle Mile, will be staged, yet only one established top liner will attend. And he'll start shorter in that race than Winx in most of her thoroughbred successes. This is not, and I reiterate, this is not a state-based blame game. No single jurisdiction has caused chaos of their own accord. The world has rotated on its axis over the past 12 months, and harness racing has neither been immune to its own sea change nor submissive in its intent. It's certainly true that Victoria has been most aggressive in its desire for revolution, and we discussed that with Dale Brown in his Tuesday tutorial just 7 days ago. By shifting their two finest futurity series to summer, HRV have dictated terms and fought for their own destiny. Still, the ripple effect is real and pervasive. The first issue we have with the current summer early autumn calendar concerns our open class ranks heading into the Miracle Mile. It's definitely reasonable to suggest that if Lochinvar was lining up this weekend and hadn't succumbed to injury, creaking cracks in the calendar would be papered over, but he's not there, so the cracks become tectonic in nature. It's tough to argue that in recent years, younger horses have been reaching, or they have definitely been reaching, Grand Circuit status earlier than ever, and with both the Breeders' Crown and the Vic Bred Super Series servicing four-year-old finals, we're now asking the most marketable horses we have, those young guns on the way up, to target two age-restricted features, then focus on the Hunter Cup, and then go through to the Miracle Mile, and I can't see how it's going to work in its current format. The 21st century standard bred is not the bottomless machine its ancestors were. Four grand finals in 4 months is too much to ask. The second issue is young stock. Again, we have the Breeders' Crown and Super Series segueing into a new three-year-old feature through the Summer of Glory, plus the four-year-old Bonanza and the Chariots of Fire, and those qualifiers for the Chariots of Fire if you choose to go there rather than targeting the Bonanza here in Victoria to get through to the Chariots. Then once they're done, there's an Oaks and Derby north of the border to target, which we're seeing right now. We've seen the Oaks, we'll see the Derby this weekend. Young horses that were already tired on New Year's Eve are being managed like claimers to ensure they chase the riches that can only be pillaged once in their career. I reiterate and restate that no single person or state is to blame for this. It's been a revolution in the calendar, a complete change of the calendar, and everyone's trying to work out where they sit. That being said, I just, once again, can't see how this in its current format will continue in a fruitful manner. We need our best horses firing in our best races, and we're duty-bound to ensure the longevity of our burgeoning heroes. COVID has counterintuitively offered all three codes of racing a unique opportunity, and all signs suggest the fans forged during the pandemic have stuck fat, not just in harness racing, but greyhound racing as well. Those who were exposed to the sport seem to be sticking with us, and it's a wonderful thing. As an industry, we can only build on this momentum if our biggest events are genuine showstoppers, must-see races that young men and women are telling their mates about at the bar. New horizons mean new rules, and it's only via creativity and compromise that we can win the war. So that's my breezing with Bon. And once again, I say it again and again, nobody is specifically to blame here because everyone's trying to forge their place in the calendar. I think the biggest issue, JD, is that Harness Racing has decided that winter in particular, which thoroughbred racing has to some degree, although certain states fill that gap, Adelaide in particular and others, it's a wasteland. So there's going to be this huge gap in the middle of the year, and I understand why no one wants to occupy it, particularly with their major races, and that's where the Breeders' Crown and the Vic Breed Super Series used to sit. Now they're in summer, and you've just got this real congestion of major races, and it's just a little bit concerning. I'm not saying that Victoria should necessarily 100% change what they've planned to do or that New South Wales should, but I feel that it's going to go on for another year because the calendar's been set. But I think sitting down and talking about it again, and let's be really honest, in 2021, there's two heavyweight states of harness racing in Australia. They are Victoria and New South Wales. Queensland are happy with the Blacks of Fate to sit where it sits. South Australia's very sadly and tragically hanging on for grim life at the moment, and I think they'd be happy to just try and avoid Victoria and New South Wales and their major features. In many ways, Tasmania can do their own thing, and WA is almost another country in a way. Very few horses go over to Target. The WA Cup these days, or the Fremantle Cup, or even the Gold Nugget, those four-year-old races, the McEnany Ford, as it used to be called. But Victoria and New South Wales, I think the best intentions were there, and certainly there's been great, great turnover results, great interest results to come out of the Vic Breed Super Series and the Breeders' Crown, and I love that we're trying to target a specific area of the year, but I feel like something has to move. It might be a Victoria Cup. It might be moving one of those Futurity Series around a little bit more. It might be moving the Miracle Mile. It might be Victoria and New South Wales sitting down and saying, okay, New South Wales, if the Miracle Mile doesn't sit well anymore in March, it used to be in November, do we go back there? Then it clashes with the New Zealand Cup, October. Do you take the spot of the Victoria Cup and the Vic Cup go somewhere else? I don't really know. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers, but I think a discussion has to be had because, this is year one. It's a little bit, you know how people are vaping these days and we don't know what the effect of it's going to be. Well, they've set this in stone. The biggest concern for me, the Miracle Mile is not the strongest Miracle Mile of all time. We know that. And if Lochinvar was there, as I say, it would paper over the cracks, but he's not there. And it means I can just see those really exciting younger horses who go through a couple of Futurity Series not having the legs to go through all the way to the Miracle Mile. That's not good for the Miracle Mile. It's our richest race. And then I'm most concerned about these younger horses, two-year-olds turning three, three-year-olds turning four, and the desire, because you only get a crack. It's not the same as thoroughbred racing. Well, it is. They've got a couple. They've got the Derbies and the Guineas, but we've got these Futurity races that are so worth so much money in the context of Australian harness racing. So you want to target them all, but if you target them all, I do have concerns about where these young horses, what effect it will have on them going forward.
It's a strong breezing with Bond.
Well, I just hope strong. I don't want. It's a discussion point. Yep. You know, I think that everyone's got the best intentions, but sort of I feel like this meeting on Saturday night, it's very, very good meeting. The Miracle Mile's still a great race. King of Swing is a star, no doubt about that. And I went through his record again, and I've been a little bit flippant at times about King of Swing, but he's a star. He won the Breeders' Crown at two. He won the WA Derby at three. He's gone on to win a Hunter Cup and a Miracle Mile, and he's likely to win a second Miracle Mile. He's a genuine, genuine star, and there's some exciting young horses there. But you just feel that down the track, I don't know. It's those young horses, as I say, the ones that are 4 years of age going into five, they're the really exciting ones. They're the footy players who are, you know, 22.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose them from the big races because they've already had too much racing going into the Miracle Mile. They can get through to the Hunter Cup, maybe. They can. But maybe not the Miracle Mile, which is about, you know, 5 weeks later. So it's just an interesting situation.
So you just want it spread out.
Basically. Well, you can't.
Is there a lull period? Like, is there a period where there's nothing?
Well, that's the thing. With Victoria making a committed decision, and I think, you know, an ambitious and outstanding decision to try and target that summer period. And we spoke about this with Dale Brand. There's no knock on any of it, but I just worry that somewhere along the line, if we don't move the chess pieces around a little bit, that particularly those young horses, I think it's going to weigh on them pretty heavily. So I don't have all the answers, and I'm not being a smart ass here and saying you've stuffed it, because I don't think anybody has. Everyone's gone in and tried to work out their patch, and New South Wales, despite the change in the calendar season, to turn it from January 1 to December 31 rather than ending at the end of August, they chose to keep the Miracle Mile here, and it's going to be a great night. But I just have concerns 2, 3, 4 years down the track, because, you know, you can always say to trainers and owners, oh, you don't have to go for everything.
Yeah.
But you want to, you know, and then these are big money races.
Yep.
And if you've got an exciting 2-year-old turning 3 or 3-year-old turning 4, I mean, I just don't think in a free market economy they're going to say, we're going to pull the pin here. They're going to say, look, there's no assurances with horses. They might not hang around. So you're going to target the races when you can.
Yep.
We're not going to know the effects of this for 2 or 3 or 4 years, but I would prefer if everyone sat down and said, okay, does this really work? And if they decide it does, you know, they're the people in positions of power among the states, the jurisdictions, but I think it warrants consideration.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well,
mate. Couldn't have said, that's perfect.
I'll wait. I'm not going to pack up my box just yet. Well,
no, I didn't think you came in here and you said, oh, I've got a controversial one. And I said, after hearing that, I didn't think that's too bad.
Well, I think, you know, and understandably, like Victoria in particular, and I work for Harness Racing Victoria, they are very, very, very proud
of
what they've achieved. And so they should be. It's just a matter of, you know, the way I see it, if we're going to do this properly, and I believe that thoroughbred racing is the same and greyhound racing to a lesser degree, but still the same. It's still the same. Basically, you've got to look after your own patch as a state, but while you've got the attention of the punters right now, because they've been watching you so much more, I think it's worth revisiting the notion that Victoria's got a very heavy stake in what happens in New South Wales and Queensland. New South Wales have got a heavy stake in what happens in Victoria, Queensland, Tasmania, everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we want the best horses racing in the best races. Right now, we've got a captive audience. Again, if Lachlan Varart was there, maybe we wouldn't even be talking about this. But he's not, and it exposes what can happen. Lachlan Varart did go through the Breeders' Crown and the Vic Bred Super Series and the Hunter Cup,
yeah,
and he won't be there for the Miracle Mile. So it's a discussion point and one that hopefully gets people talking a little bit. And if you've got a theory, 0499736736, you can text in,
or you could call you directly.
So
yeah,
your that's
phone might start lighting
that's
up. That's
0486042. No, we might leave it at that for now. We've got a big show coming up. I tweeted out last night. We've got Laurie Young, who had that big win with All Award Bob. Coming up pretty soon. Anthony Butt's going to talk to us about Wolf Stride and just how great his team's going at the moment, particularly in Victoria. But he'll be hoping to win the Miracle Mile with Wolf Stride on Saturday night. And in the second hour, we've got Matty Leppard, who absolutely killed it last week. He had an off week a fortnight back, bounced back with a vengeance last week. He's on tour up at Coogee. He's heading there right now. And by the time he lands towards the end of the second hour, we'll talk to him. And we'll also talk to Carl Cody. That'll be the Tuesday tutorial. He's the chief executive of Trots Clubs Victoria. And he's also got a rich history in the sport. So that's going to be one of our wild and woolly and just rambling chats with Carl Cody, because he's going to have a lot to tell us, not just about what he does, that'll be the tutorial part of it, but more broadly his history in the sport. So looking forward to a big couple of hours.
Yes, it should be a lot of fun. Tuesdays are always, I found, a lot of fun. We've got the serious stuff on Monday,
yep,
and you and I have a bit of a laugh on the Tuesday. And then Wombat comes in very serious on a Wednesday.
Yes,
he's got the page.
Yeah. Like, yes, exactly. I leave Wombat to do a lot of it.
Yes.
Like, he's big on the preparation for a Wednesday. Thursday we talk business, yeah, and then Friday we kick back,
again.
And I normally dominate the music quiz. That's what normally happens on a Friday.
I do enjoy a Tuesday, so I'm ready to get stuck into it, Bon.
All right, let's take a break, come back. I don't know if we'll sneak in Hillsville, but if we don't, we're going to get stuck into Laurie Young and discuss that magnificent win in the last race at Tabcorp Park Melton on Saturday night.